John 15:13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I saw a thing on World War II the other night, and something I found quite interesting. You know, there was so much death in World War II. The military, they had worked on precision bombing, but they didn't have it down very well at all. And when they do those saturation bombings, it just killed countless civilians. But according to the numbers I saw the other night, in World War II, there were 380,000 British soldiers killed. 400,000 U.S. servicemen gave their lives in World War II. 5 million Germans died, 10 million Soviets, and 45 million civilians. And that included the 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. So much death, so many broken hearts, so many broken lives. One lady that they interviewed said at the end of that war, said, you saw some celebrations in the streets, said, but worldwide there was really not much left in them to celebrate. They'd seen so much death and so much destruction. Said their heart of celebration had gone somewhere long ago. It was a tough time, tough days. But in our text, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The first time that a soldier is mentioned in the Bible is in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, and speaks about the sons and grandsons of Issachar. And they're referred to as valiant men of might. Then in verse 7, as mighty men of valor. Paul encourages young Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. My, my, my. We have anybody in here this morning that served their country? Would you stand up for me? Stand up for me. My, my, my. Let's give them a big hand right in the middle of the message. All right. Thank you, fellas. You can be seated. I used to jokingly talk about my Uncle Harley. I said about myself, Jack Roberts, said I went in on the buddy plan. Me and three MPs went in together. No, I never got to serve. They wouldn't have me. I've told the story about going for my draft physical in Miami, Florida, around 2,000 or 3,000 men lined up in that big armory there to take our physicals, and they told us to strip down to our shoes and our shorts. And out of all those thousands of men, I'm the only one there in boxer shorts and cowboy boots. Oh well. But Paul told Timothy, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's some hardness involved when you choose to become a soldier. Notice the context of a soldier here in this verse is as being good. The context is good. Soldiers are good. The Bible says about a soldier in Romans 13:4, said, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. And if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. It's a battle between good and evil. Today is the day that America has set aside as in memory of those who have given their lives in defense of this country. All those freedoms that we saw on shaky ground this past couple months. This is from General John Logan, General Order Number 11 on May 5th of 1868. He wrote this. He said, let us cherish tenderly the memory of our heroic dead. We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. All that the consecrated wealth and taste of the nation can add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of her slain defenders. Let no wanton foot tread rudely on such hallowed grounds. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no vandalism of avarice or neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. If other eyes grow dull, other hands slack, and other hearts cold in the solemn trust, ours shall keep it well as long as the light and warmth of life remain to us. Let us then at the time appointed gather around their sacred remains and garland the passionless mounds above them with the choicest flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledges to aid and assist those whom we have left among us, a sacred charge upon a nation's gratitude. The soldiers and sailors, widow and orphan. My. I read that every Memorial Day. I will be doing a service tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Craven Cemetery, New Craven Cemetery, with the Milan American Legion Post. And that's one of that order I repeat. Do about a 5 to 10 minute service there. You see those old men walking down, a lot of those old timers now, American Legion walking down, hair white, gait a little unsteady many times. It's the same ones every year, raising those guns. Ready, aim, fire! Apostle Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're here today and we're worshiping God today in freedom because someone at some time endured hardness. It's not easy. It's not easy for a man or a woman to leave their home and their families, their friends, their careers, to put themselves in subjection to another. That's not an easy thing. I remember in 1958, I was a little boy, and I remember my brother Aubrey, when he went to join the Navy. I didn't know what was going on with that. I know that he had, a year before, written a song called Family Reunion for King Star Day Records. Him and our Uncle Harley Gabbard together. And it got a lot of airplay. WCKY played it a lot. And you'll find it as one of the old standards in many of the old gospel songbooks. Come one, come all, to the family reunion. Family reunion. Had a promising career in country music. Hooked up with Kaz Walker from, was it KNOX, NOX, the Knoxville radio in Renfro Valley. They had that was before the Nashville thing really took off. But things were looking good for my brother Aubrey. But for some reason, he left our farm in Milan. He left his promising career in country music. He left the freedom to eat what he wanted, to sleep when he wanted, to get up when he wanted. He left all that to become an aviation electronics technician in the United States Navy. What makes a man do that? Remember David, when his brothers are fighting the Philistines, David shows up and says, is there not a cause? Hey. In 1944, my dad was a foreman for the experimental department in air research in Phoenix, Arizona. He had a job, a guaranteed job that would protect him from having to serve in the military. It was a critical job that he had. But evidently he didn't quite get it because for some reason he marched down to the recruiting station and joined the Army during the height of World War II. Willie Gabbard, man, what a tough Marine he was. Won a Wall Four Medal, Silver Star. That's just under the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's incredible. Speaking Congressional Medal of Honor, Sonny Fleek's brother, Chalky Fleek. Got a picture of him and back receiving the Congressional Medal of Honor, the family receiving it posthumously for Chalky Fleet from President Nixon. My, my, my. Staff Sergeant George Chapman, one of my cousins, I laid him to rest, preached his funeral and laid him to rest at Camp Nelson. Camp Nelson is in Jasmine County, Kentucky, down near Nicholasville, not far from the Kentucky River down there. It's a military, has just been made a national military cemetery in the last couple years. I wrote a song about Camp Nelson. I don't know that anybody has recorded that yet. We talked about it this week. Why would folks do that? Why would folks leave what they had going on? And maybe that's why God referred to soldiers as men of valor and might. In the book of Romans, Paul says to render honor unto whom honor is due. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Don, what were you in? Were you in the Army? Maybe. What, you were in the Army? All right. When do you join? Oh, they volunteer you? That's how I am in the ministry. I wasn't a volunteer. God drafted me. My buddy David Lee Myers, I think he got drafted. My. Several years ago, near Luke Air Force Base in Glendale, Arizona, my brother-in-law, who I was with last night, was a career Air Force guy. He won 2 Bronze Stars and all kinds of medals. He was a Chief Master Sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, served two tours in Vietnam, highly decorated. And this past year, he was inducted into the Indiana Military Veterans Hall of Fame. And he was my guide. Joyce and I went with he and my sister to the Air Force Museum in Columbus, Ohio. And he's pointing out all those planes that he flew on was part of the crew. What a thing. But several years ago, near Luke Air Force Base in Glendale, Arizona, a lady sent a nasty letter to the newspaper in regard to being awakened one morning by military jets flying over her home. And she was very critical and flippant as she vehemently complained of her quiet being interrupted. And the letter was forwarded to the base commander at Luke Air Force Base and elicited this response. He wrote her back, said, regarding a wake-up call from Luke's jets, on June 15th at precisely 9:12 a.m., a perfectly timed four-ship flyby of F-16s from the 63rd Fighter Squadron at Luke Air Force Base flew over the grave of Captain Jeremy Freckles. Captain Freckles was an Air Force officer who was previously stationed at Luke Air Force Base and was killed in Iraq on May 30th, Memorial Day. At 9 a.m. on June 15th, his family and friends gathered at Sunland Memorial Park in Sun City to mourn the loss of a husband, son, and friend. Based on the letter writer's recount of the flyby and because of the jet noise, I'm sure you didn't hear the 21-gun salute, the playing of taps, or my words to the widow and parents of Captain Freskus, as I gave them their son's flag on behalf of the President of the United States and all those veterans and servicemen and women who understand the sacrifices they have endured. A four-ship flyby is the display of respect the Air Force gives to those who give their lives in defense of freedom. We are professional aviators and take our job seriously. And on June 15th, what the letter writer witnessed was four officers lining up to pay their ultimate respects. The letter writer asked, "Whom do we thank for the morning air show?" The 56th Fighter Wing will make the call for you and forward your thanks to the widow and parents of Captain Fresquez. And thank them for you, for it was in their honor that my pilots flew the most honorable formation of their lives. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you: Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, and with the promise of forgiveness for your sins and the offer of eternal life. The other died for your freedom. Lieutenant Colonel Grant L. Rosensteel, Jr., United States Air Force. One day on a lonely hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price that a soldier can pay. He laid down his life for his friends. For all those who by faith have said, "Lord, I come. Lord, I come." An old preacher said, "The elect is composed of all the whosoever wills. The non-elect are all the whosoever won't." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So take upon me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus Christ didn't have to do that for us. He said, "No man taketh my life from me." He said, "I lay it down willingly." The Heavenly Father allowed the precious Son to exercise His own will. I think it has something to do when the Lord on the cross turned and said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus Christ, there alone on the cross, He willingly chose to be obedient to His Heavenly Father. That verse was John 10:18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." His sacrifice should not be taken lightly. We are still one nation, folks, under God, and there's just one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. The offer is open today. Whosoever will, let him come. He said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Why would anybody refuse what He did for you, to pay for your sin? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to die to pay for your sins. I chose the death of Jesus Christ in my place to pay my sin debt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The man Christ Jesus, believe in Him. Trust Him. Settle on Jesus Christ as a Savior and come to Him with a repentant heart. He won't refuse you. Why would He refuse you? He said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Trust Him. Embrace Him. And He promises eternal life. "Am I given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my Father's hand, from my hand." The battle hymn of the Republic states that as He died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. His truth is marching on. As the death of Christ was not in vain, neither are the lives of any who have risen to the call of liberty. We remain free today because of their great courage and sacrifice. We have a hope and promise of eternal life today because of one man. One man who was all man and all God, Jesus Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. I'm done this morning. Brother Phil, if you'll come. Brother Jeremiah. Everyone stand up with me this morning. It would be a wonderful day to trust Christ, to get saved, to come forward and say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. I believe that He's the Son of God. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm reaching out the best way I know how and asking you, Jesus, to be merciful to me, a sinner. My. He won't refuse you. Why would He? The altar's open this morning as we sing.
Number 306, Have Thine Own Way.